Hi, this is Pat Gelsinger, CEO of VMware, and you are listening to the Virtually Speaking Podcast.
If you're going to San Francisco,
let's go, baby.
Be sure to wear some flowers in your hair. If you're going to San Francisco, you're gonna
this.
What is virtualization?
You're going to learn today.
Innovate like a startup. Deliver like an enterprise.
I hope you're coffeed up and ready because it's going to be a great day.
I know you're going to dig this.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to the Virtually Speaking Podcast with Pedro Aero and John Nicholson.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Virtually Speaking Podcast, episode number 122. My name is Pete Fletcher, a.k.a. Pedro Aero, and John's out on baby duty, so joining me as co-host are three good friends of the show, Frank Dennerman, Duncan Epping, and Mr. Ken Werneberg. Gentlemen, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Pete.
Hey.
So if you're in the IT industry, you probably know the big show, VMworld, is right around the corner. As a matter of fact, the schedule builder opened up this week, so time to get those sessions in your calendar. And I thought this would be the perfect time to do our annual VMworld preview or Know Before You Go episode. And hey, what better guests to have on the show than people, in my opinion, are pretty much the staples of VMworld. I mean, heck, Frank, Duncan, and Ken, you guys have all three been in the top two sessions of VMworld before, so you guys definitely know what you're doing there. And also, you have insight into what's going on at VMworld. Perfect people to talk about, you know, some of the things I want to talk about today. So let's do this. I want to break this up into a couple of different pieces. I want to start with some of the basics, right? What should people know before they go? And some of them are common, right? Like comfortable shoes, good socks, things like that. But then let's take a shift into things that people won't know, like some of the changes. Obviously, the venue changed. Everybody knows that. Hopefully, you're not going to Vegas, right? But there's also some other changes that you might not know, like around how the sessions are built this year and some of the changes that VMware made internally. And so we're going to talk about that. And then I also want to talk a little bit about the sessions that are out there and hear from these guys. What do you guys think makes a good VMworld trip? Sound good?
Sounds awesome.
Sweet. Let's see. Oh, you know, three co-hosts of this caliber. It's hard to know who to start with. Guys, just jump in anytime and I'll fix it on post. But let's start talking about, let's start with the basics, right? Know before you go. Of course, comfortable shoes. When I first went to VMworld, I think I made the classic mistake of, I got to dress nice, so I need to have good shoes. And I, you know, I'd wear sneakers when I wasn't presenting and when I wasn't working the booth. But man, that's a lot of walking around to be on some wood heels. So sneakers is a must. But if you're still like, oh, I can't wear sneakers, I'm too cool for that. Maybe some black shoes that look like sneakers. What are your thoughts on footwear?
Sneakers, just sneakers. It's not a fashion show, and those are long days. It's not only the time when you go to sessions and talk to people. The day begins. Typically, you have breakfast with somebody, then you go to the shows, then you go to a party. And then maybe another party. And before you know it, it's 12 o'clock. And your alarm clock goes off at 6 again. So wooden heels, no way.
Totally agree. I mean, you may start off the week looking awesome, like I do. I look like Fabio from the 90s with all the flowing locks and everything. But by about day three of 18-hour days, you're starting to look more like, well, like the real me. It just gets a little hairier as things move through the week, and wearing some nicely polished shoes is the lowest of your priorities at that point. Now, that said, it depends what you're doing too. If you're just attending, you're sitting in some cool technical 300 level sessions. Yeah, it's not a fashion show. Be comfortable more than anything else, for sure. But you know, if you're doing some executive meetings or something along those lines, obviously you gotta kind of amp it up a little bit. Comfort before all else.
Yeah, and I think the other thing to mention besides shoes is make sure to bring a sweater, because a lot of these, especially session rooms, it tends to get chilly. I even had it up on stage. I was presenting, and after 20 minutes, I started to feel really, really cold. So literally, my co-speaker took over for a minute, I put on a jacket and then I continued. It was that cold in the room. So, you know, make sure to bring a sweater because in some rooms it can be cold. Plus, it's in San Francisco this year. Right. It's not in Las Vegas. So, yeah, for us Europeans, that means it's not going to be 40 degrees, but 20 degrees, whatever that is in Fahrenheit. I don't know, but you guys, you know, get the gist.
Oh, yeah. Coming from North Carolina, my very first VMworld, you know, it was in the summer. You know, it was the end of the summer. And, you know, we were hitting 98 degrees, you know, which is close to your 40 in that strange formula that you guys use. But, but yeah, so it's like almost 40 degrees you guys, but almost 100 degrees ours. And I'm thinking, man, I'm bringing shorts, I'm bringing t-shirts and polos. And I get to San Francisco and yeah, great maybe in the middle of the day, but at night... I was dying. I actually had to buy a San Francisco 49ers sweater while I was there just to keep warm.
Years ago, I think it was my first one, 2007 or whatever that was. A bunch of us decided to go see a ball game. And I'm Canadian. We don't care about that. It's not hockey. So whatever. I thought, okay, let's go see a baseball game. And yeah, exactly what you said. It's right there in, what is that, Candlestick Park, I think it is?
It was, yeah. They changed it. Yeah. But yeah.
And, you know, it's right on the water. So it's hot and kind of muggy during the day. But then, yeah, the wind kicked up in the evening and we're all sitting there like, what the hell's happening here? Why didn't I bring my parka? You know?
Oh, yeah.
But I think the shift to San Francisco is going to be interesting from a few perspectives on that, not just the least of which is attire. I think the city itself is going to, I mean, we've done that there many, many years and it's spread out a lot more so than Las Vegas is. So you're going to spend a lot of time walking around outside too, like to different hotels, to different venues, things like that too. So yeah, you got to be prepared. It's not that sort of air conditioned bubble that you have in the Las Vegas tunnels.
Exactly. Yeah. On Twitter, I asked the question, like, what are some of your tips for VMworld, just to see what people were thinking. And there were a bunch of really good ones, but one I thought really summed it up was Ken Nabon. Ken said three things. He said, the swag usually ain't worth the scan. He said, drink lots of water. And then he said, don't forget to sleep. Yeah. Cause though, to me, it's a long week, man. And before you know it, it's over. But then if you want to, you know, maybe I'm getting old, but when you're talking to a lot of people, when you're presenting, when you want to be on, this is an important time. There's a lot of good connections to make. There's a lot of good stuff to learn. Yeah. Get your sleep for sure. And drink water, man. I know it was even worse in Vegas because it was so dry there, but I think it also applies to San Francisco. For one, I'm going to actually bring a refillable bottle of water this year, like one of those regular bottles that you can refill, because you can't find a bottle of water anywhere there.
Yeah. So another thing that I want to add, and although I said you get stuck at a party, first thing you have to do after the show is have a proper dinner. That will keep you for the rest of the week sharp, because day one, typically what happens, especially with the solution exchange opening,
yep,
Everybody is excited. We see a lot of old friends again. Everybody starts to drink and you keep on drinking and the first day will hit you hard.
Yeah, for sure, man. So good meal to start off the week, comfortable shoes, keep hydrated, get your rest, all that stuff. It sounds basic, but I think when you get to these big events and everything's going on, you sort of forget. And so that kind of transitions us into the changes, right? The first change I wanted to talk about was the venue change, right? So we've obviously been to San Francisco for a while, and then it's been at Vegas for a while, but I'm guessing that there's going to be a whole generation of VMworld attendees, even folks that have been doing it for several years that have never actually been to Moscone. Duncan, have you been to Moscone since they've done all the construction and all that? I know they've made some major changes there at Moscone.
Yeah, actually, I haven't been inside of Moscone, but we walked over during the R&D conference that we had recently, not too long ago, radio. So we walked over to the new Moscone buildings just to see what it looked like. And it looks amazing. You know, it's twice as big. It's very tall. You know, they have bridges in between, north and south right now. So normally you would have to cross the street or go underneath, but now they have bridges across the street as well. So it just looks, you know, it looks really slick. They seem to have a gazillion new rooms, ranging from, you know, 80 people to 500, 600, 700, 800. So pretty large rooms as well. It just looks amazing. I'm looking forward to going back. I mean, the first year when we went back to Vegas, because I'd done a partner exchange a couple of times in Vegas as well, and we had some internal conferences in Vegas. So, you know, I wasn't too happy about Vegas, mainly because of the, you know, stuff going on. You know, people in the streets, you know, the smoking inside of the hotels, you name it. It's not
different
my
crowd.
Thing. But, you know, after a couple of years, you kind of, you know, you start to appreciate the fact that everything is contained within a single building. I usually picked a hotel which was, you know, connected,
sure,
which helped a lot. And I think the last couple of years, although I still don't appreciate, you know, the casinos and stuff like that, it's just not my thing. As a conference building or whatever you want to call it. I think it was excellent. But now, you know, looking at the new Moscone, I think that looks amazing. The only difference is for a lot of people that, you know, they would need to travel from a hotel point of view. So I think my hotel is about a mile away or something like that. But, you know, other people are far worse off. They will have 4 miles, 5 miles or whatever it is. So that's going to be a difference. But I think it's okay. I mean, it's a bit spread out, but you know, you get used to it pretty quick.
Heck, if you haven't booked your hotel yet for VMworld and you're going, yeah, you might want to start looking in Oakland.
Because, yeah, it was, it filled up fast.
Slim pickings.
I was talking to Frank about it and William and Alan and some of the other guys exchanging which hotels we were going to pick. There were like five hotels on the list. So I picked the closest. So I passed it on to Frank, William, and Ron Singler and Porty. And literally within minutes, Ron told me, he said, you know, it's gone. It's not available anymore. It filled up instantly. So, you know, he's sitting, you know, somewhere near the wharf. So it's, you know, it's filling up fast.
Frank, did you get a room or do you need me to slide a couch in my room?
Nah, I'll sleep under a bridge. As long as we don't get an earthquake like a few years ago.
Yeah.
I was doing an SRM session the next morning.
Boom.
And I slept right through the damn thing. I couldn't capitalize on the, hey, you guys felt that shake last night? So I hear that there was some thing that happened. BCDR, peace out.
You know? Yeah. I remember that year because every disaster recovery session was like, thanking God that happened. You know, they were like, interesting segue this morning. Yeah, exactly.
Except for mine. I'm down in Fisherman's Wharf this year too. And I've kind of made my peace with that because originally, every year we've had it there, I've been right near the Moscone Center, but every time, this time I'm out at Fisherman's Wharf. And I realized, you know, I've never been to Fisherman's Wharf. And all the years of going to San Francisco, I've never seen what that place is all about. So I figure there might be something interesting to see, something new. So I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it's nice. I would just say for you and to everybody else that is getting a little further out, just you're just going to have to plan accordingly. If you got a session at 8 o'clock, don't start looking for an Uber at 7:45, you know, give yourself a little bit of time.
I hear San Francisco has some traffic.
A little bit. Sweet. So listen, another really cool thing that's happened in this year that's different from previous years is internally VMware has made some big changes to how they structure the sessions and what sessions are available. And I only know this because I was talking to Mr. Werneberg here. Ken's got an inside track. So Ken, tell us a little bit about what we can expect that's different with the sessions this year for somebody that's registering.
Yeah, a couple of things. So traditionally every session's been 60 minutes or almost every session's been 60 minutes. And this year they introduced a couple of different lengths. There are 30-minute and 90-minute sessions as well, which is kind of good. I mean, sometimes if you really want to explore a topic, 60 minutes isn't enough. Or if you really want to focus on one thing, you know, sometimes people feel they have to stretch it out to 60 minutes just to make it fit the time slot. So having the addition of these two different times is kind of interesting. And I think a lot of this is coming just in response to the feedback that we got from the community and the attendees that were saying, look, that session wasn't enough. I mean, I'm sure all of us have seen that feedback at one point or another on a session where they say, look, there is so much more they could have gone into. So having some of those is nice. And the other one is really, again, in response to the community feedback and attendees, the shift, the emphasis is shifting away from just sort of neutral sort of showcase of a product or a feature and really trying to shift it towards that technical 300 level. The guidance this year has definitely been to move things to make it a more technical conference again, in some ways the way it used to be. And I think we've tried to do the right things and make it appeal to as many people as we can. But this year, it's definitely leaning towards the technical side of things. I just this morning did a little breakdown. There are about 500 and change total breakout sessions for VMworld. Out of all of those, there are 32 business 100 level. That's it. 23 business 200 level. And then after that, we have 117 technical 100, 199 technical 200, and 140 technical 300. So, I mean, nice. That's over two-thirds of the sessions at VMworld this year are technical 200 and 300 level. And, you know, I think the attendees have requested that, and I'm really glad to see that we're shifting in that direction because I think a lot of conferences, as they age, tend to get a little more milquetoast.
So. You think they know that, though. I mean, you walk into Frank Dennerman's session, and there's 800 people, you know, and he's doing, like, the deepest dive of NUMA, you know, and he's like almost speaking Chinese and it's super deep, you know, and yet the room is packing out, you know, and then you go to a entry level 101 session, there's, you know, 50 people and then, you know, people are getting slammed because it's too light. So I don't know. I think that's been pretty obvious, but it's good to see that VMworld is taking that serious this year and that there's going to be more technical sessions and more opportunity for that. I think that's going to be a good thing.
And I think that kind of maybe ties back to what your previous comment there about the different attendees, or is there going to be a shift in attendee demographic maybe? Like, are we going to see more technical people starting to attend the conference? Are we going to see a newer generation of people? Like, we're getting into round two of the vSphere administrators career-wise. I think Brad Tompkins, when you had him on for the vMug group, was talking about that, how at the user cons at vMugs, you're seeing a lot newer audiences, the people that haven't necessarily experienced a lot of the growing pains around using virtualization and stuff like that. They're stepping into this as a new career. Yep. And they probably need that technical guidance, like, really badly. So I'm glad to see that as well. I'm pretty sure that most of the people that we know at VMware are submitting those technical 200 and 300 level sessions anyway, too, so we can kind of speak for the quality of those.
Sweet, sweet, sweet. So yeah, speaking of sessions, Frank, Duncan, I'm very interested in your opinion on this. Like, what in your opinion, and you can be as specific as you want, but I'm curious, what do you think makes a good session and what makes a bad session?
Well, I've seen some really bad sessions.
yeah, thanks for attending my session.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say. You said I could be very specific. So there was one on VVols in particular a couple of years ago by this guy named Pete Fletcher. Man, it was terrible. Now, just kidding. I think it all comes down to probably, you know, three or four things. First of all, it's an interesting topic. If your topic isn't interesting, then forget about it. That's where it starts. And then secondly, you know, good speaker. I think, you know, being a good speaker, that helps a lot. Someone that has prepared the session, has rehearsed it, you know, a couple of times, did a couple of dry runs at home, 3-4 times or whatever it is. Someone that understands the story and, you know, has some good use cases around it as well. I think that is very important. And I think when it comes to the content itself, making sure that it's not too long or it's not too short. I think that's very important. That's what Ken already mentioned. We now have those 30, 60, 90-minute slots. We had 30-minute slots in the past as well. So last year, there were these lightning talks that we had, and the year before, we had the same. But we only had a limited number, and it wasn't really well-structured. I think the first year was only on a Sunday. But some of those sessions had 800-900 people attending. So it's an interesting concept. So myself, for instance, I'm doing a session on HA best practices in 30 minutes.
Nice.
But specifically for vSAN. So it talks about vSAN specifically. That's why it's only 30 minutes. And Ken was asking me, because we went through the list of all the sessions, he was like, you know, are you really sure you only need 30 minutes? Because some people were saying, you know, is Duncan just talking for 30 minutes just about HA and vSAN? You know, surely he can talk for 2.5 hours. Yeah, of course I can talk for 2.5 hours. But is it going to be interesting if you talk about it for 2.5 hours versus the 30 minutes just getting the information that you need? So, you know, I think, you know, having a concise story is also very important. So in my opinion, three things: interesting topic, you know, the speaker itself, his knowledge and expertise and having done that multiple times, and then, you know, in terms of the content, you know, being concise in name. I think those things are important.
How many times do you go over your session? Because I think that's an important thing. I think a lot of folks make the critical mistake of they build a deck, they know what they want to talk about, but it never leaves their brain and comes out their mouth until they're standing on stage, and then they sound like an idiot. Even though they know the content, they just haven't really talked about it yet. And I don't know about you, but it takes me like 4 times to go through my deck minimum to at least know what I want to say. Because I start saying something, I'm like, nah, that's dumb. Nah, that's not going to work. Let me reword that. And yeah, you got to practice, right?
Yes, I fully agree. And I've seen so many sessions, and a lot of the sessions that I've seen, I was pretty sure that the speaker never rehearsed it. And you can notice it instantly, right? So they have a 60-minute slot, and they finish their session after 20, 25 minutes. Well, if you finish after 20, 25 minutes, you can't tell me that you've rehearsed it multiple times. Because when I do my session and I have a 60-minute slot, I will probably finish at 55 minutes. So I just leave another 5 minutes for, you know, Q&A. If I do a VMUG and I have a 45-minute slot, and typically we won't do a Q&A after, but we will do that, you know, in the hallway, whatever it is.
Yeah.
If I have 45 minutes, my session will be, you know, 44 minutes and 30 seconds or 45 minutes to the point, maybe to the second, right? So I typically will rehearse any new deck 4 or 5 times. And I literally do it standing up with a clicker in my hand, walking through my room as if I'm in front of an audience. That's the way I will go over it. And if some of the slides don't work, I will tweak the slide and we'll present it again and then see if I understand the story myself. Because I think that's the key thing when you do these types of sessions is, you know, how you transition from one slide to the other slide, right? You have a set of slides, but it also needs to be a story. And what I typically tend to do, yes. And you can notice the difference between people who have rehearsed and who haven't pretty quick, because people who understand that deck who've done it multiple times will already be talking about the next slide before they actually hit that slide. So they introduce the slide, they talk about the concept, then they click, and then, you know, the topic actually pops up. People who have never seen the deck or have only seen it once, they will hit the clicker, the slide will pop up, then they will probably read out the subject, right? The header out loud, and then they will hit it point by point. I don't even look at the bullet points. I don't look at the header either. I'll just talk through it. And I think that's the key thing.
So one thing that you can do as if you are a starter with presenting is layer the way you learn your deck. So one of the things is learn your intro. Just learn it by heart. Know exactly what you want to say for the first two slides, right? And then the next step is understand what Duncan said, the bridge between slide one and slide two. Right, but the bridges between those slides. That's the first thing that you're going to learn, because that also helps you understand the flow of your deck. Know basically the storyline of your deck, and then for the next part, you start to fill in the particular slides. And if you have like 8 bullet points, you don't have to cover them all. Right, just hit a couple that you think that are really interesting. And I think if you layer it like that, that helps you progress through the deck better, basically.
Yeah, the other thing I wanted to say, don't let people fool you, right? We all know the stories about people that go up on stage, they absolutely kill it, they nail it. You know, they are the perfect public speaker, and they will tell you afterwards, well, I haven't rehearsed it. I made my slides 5 minutes before I did the session. Believe me, 99.9% of all people presenting at VMworld will never ever do that. Why not? Because there's 800 people in your room or 500 people in your room. And even if it's only 80 people in your room and you mess up the introduction and you don't know what's on the first slide or on the second slide, you know, you will end up looking like an idiot. No one wants that. So, you know, don't be stupid. Don't let those people fool you. Just rehearse it, you know, 4 or 5 times is probably plenty. Then you know your deck inside out and you're okay.
Another thing that I want to add, what Duncan says, is like some people say, I need to do a presentation every time I go to to VMUG or VMworld, a new presentation. Don't do that. Do your session multiple times at different venues, at different shows. That helps you make your story way better, way more concise. And the argument that, yeah, but if somebody's in the audience that have seen my presentation at a VMUG, it's their choice to sit in the same presentation in VMworld as in your VMUG. That's not for you to think about. Basically, do your deck over and over again. A actor doesn't rehearse his line one time and then basically go in and shoot it in one scene.
Or a comedian. Yeah, I mean they take their act and they go to a bunch of clubs, small clubs, and they refine it. Yeah, this joke worked, this one didn't. I mean every comedian does that, and then they'll do the Showtime special. Well, this is kind of like the Showtime special. You should have done it a couple of times.
This is your Netflix special, baby.
That's it, baby.
It's entirely possible they did just do their slides 5 minutes before they walked up on stage at VMworld, and they didn't actually rehearse it or practice it. But that's because they did it 500 times already. And you know, back to the VMUG thing, I've sat in sessions, the same session delivered by the same speaker twice, and I pick up something totally different every time, because your brain is not able to hold every scrap of information that you heard over 50 minutes. There's no harm in sitting through the same session again that you've already sat through. It's perfectly valid. But if I could add one more thing onto that topic too, that as an attendee, that's one way that you can determine whether a session is going to be good or not. You look at the abstract. They're there for a reason, right? So you don't just look and see, oh, it's done by Pete Fletcher, I'm going to go sit in that. You look at the abstract and see, hey, this one's got some really good content to it. And what makes for a good abstract? What tells me that it's going to be a good session? You look at the technical level, first of all, to make sure that it's kind of lining up with your expectation. And then secondly, really read the abstract. Are they trying, do they say, I'm going to cover everything? Here's
Deep dive on 20 topics.
Yeah, in 45 minutes, right? Then you know you're in for a rough ride in that session. But if they have, let's say, 3 solid topics, yeah, you can do that. I mean, if you imagine you've got, let's say, 30 slides to go through in 1 hour, how much content can you really do to call that a technical deep dive, right? So if they have a really strong, concise abstract, chances are they know what they're doing as a speaker, and chances are they've gone through that to determine whether or not that's going to fit. So that's my advice, is really take a look at what they say they're going to cover, not just the themes and the topics, but are they being really accurate in what their abstract says? That's probably a good way to determine.
Oh, yeah. Very cool. All right, so I like the way that you transition to the attendee, which I think is important. So for those that are attending, whether it's your first time or your fifth time, you know, you probably know this if you've done this a bunch of times, but lots of sessions. Moscone is slightly different. The buildings are separate, north, south, and all that. It seems, you know, when you're building your session, take that into consideration where the room is. If you're a presenter, even more so. But yeah, if you're trying to attend a session that starts in 10 minutes and it's seven blocks down the road, you might want to think about that. So we're not all in the same building anymore. It used to be, that was one of the good things, as Duncan mentioned, being in Vegas, one of the very few things, but definitely one of the good things was the fact that everything was in one location, and you might walk a little far, but you're not going to be, having to take a subway to get to your next session. So take that into consideration when you're building your schedule and when you're looking at it. You may have to skip a session if it looks like it's going to make you late to a session that you really care about. And also make time for other things other than sessions, right? Like the Solutions Exchange has a bunch of vendors, has a bunch of different booths. John and I are going to have a podcast booth in the Solutions Exchange as well. We're going to be giving away some swag. We're also going to be talking to people. We're going to be doing a bunch of interviews. So come and say hi to people. Network. Go into the Solutions Exchange. Don't be the guy that's like, oh, I was going to do this on Thursday, but oh, guess what? It closed on Thursday. I never got to it because I was going to 30 sessions.
The expo is actually really, really cool. I've always had this feeling in the back of my mind that expo is where you go to get your badge swiped so you can increase your spam quota. But I mean, the people that are there, at least from the VMworld side, obviously I can't speak for everyone else, but I mean, it's serious talent that we have at those expo booths. The staff that are there are really top tier, top notch talent at VMware. So you can go up and, it may say something very high level as the topic, but if you go and ask them a deep question about it, they will have the answer. The people that we have on staff there are not just, people that we've hired to man it. These are VMware staff who are the deep technical experts on the stuff who are there to answer your questions. So it's a really good location.
Yeah, big difference between going to a VMUG, right? You go to a VMUG and you see the VMware booth and there's a nice person there that says, would you like a ball or would you like a bag? That's really all I know. but then you go to VMware's booth, and not only are you talking to senior SEs, but you're also talking to developers. Some of the people that actually wrote the software are going to be sitting right there in the booth. And so product managers that you can actually have influence and say, hey, this works or it doesn't work. I'd like to see this. So you're not just talking to somebody who doesn't barely know the topic. You're actually talking to people that actually have influence, which I think is, to me, that's a unique opportunity to be at VMworld.
Yeah, for sure. It's not just for VMware, right? It's multiple. Actually, most vendors will do the same thing. I think every single year I end up talking to, 5-6 different startups, and it's usually, the engineers, the developers that man the booth. The CEO typically walks around. The CTO typically walks around. They just want to get a feeling of what, kind of feedback customers have, what customers are looking for, what kind of use cases there are. Just trying to figure out what it is that customers would like to do with their product. So, it applies to all different vendors. And whether that's a brand new startup or companies like Rubrik, Cohesity, Veeam, you name it, they will all have their best technical staff at the booth. And we already mentioned it briefly. People said that, the swag is usually not worth bringing home. I'm not sure I fully agree with that, because some of the booths actually have cool swag. If you enjoy t-shirts, some people still enjoy those technical t-shirts. There's usually, some good t-shirts to be found. But last year, for instance, Rubrik gave away an awesome book. I happen to be the co-author of the book, that was pretty cool. And, you see some, pretty cool stuff being given away. And, some people care about that. So, if you care about that, make sure to leave some room in your suitcase so you can bring some stuff home for your kids, maybe, or for yourself. And like you said, it's worth just walking around. I always walk around, just bump into people, chat to vendors, just figure out what's going on, which vendor is buzzing, and you name it. It's just a cool place to walk around.
And typically the opening of the Solution Exchange on the first day is one of the highlights of VMworld, in my view.
Yeah,
you see
free
everybody,
food.
It's crowded, it's buzzing, it's insane, and I love it.
I think like every year, Frank, at least that's where I see you in my yearly meeting with you. It's like, hey, Frank, how's it going? Yeah, and it's day one in the expo. I mean, it's just where everyone meets,
One of my funny memories of day one in the expo is I was working on the podcast booth, and we were setting it up and everything. And this guy comes up and he's like, oh, I love the podcast. It's so great. And then he clarifies. He goes, I only listen to the episodes when Frank Denneman's on. I was like, oh, okay. Well, thank you for listening when Frank comes on. What do you say to that?
Good show.
Those are good episodes, right, Frank? Frank, what are you doing at VMworld? I know you're going to do a NUMA deep dive, which I think is going to be, amazing. You can tell us a little about that. But what else are you doing at VMworld?
I do two sessions, one with Duncan, of course. about HA and DRS on-prem and in cloud, so the hybrid cloud vision type of things.
Nice.
Duncan talks about HA, I talk about DRS, which I'm really looking forward to. And of course, the 60 minutes of NUMA, which is going to be a really nice deep dive. So, yeah.
Yeah, what is that, level 500 or?
No, we'll keep it at 300. So it's good.
Hold on. There's a difference between 300 franc and 300 yeah. Pete. So, yeah, Pete, for you, that's 500.
Yeah. No lie there, my friend. I've sat in franc sessions.
Same applies to me, by the way. When Frank starts talking about NUMA, I'm like, okay, forget about it. Who cares?
You know what? I would take out of that session, I'd learn how to spell NUMA. That would be like...
I'm in the audience Googling NUMA. What is NUMA? Just kidding.
Oh, and it's going to be epic because I'm going to talk about AMD Epic as well, the new AMD line.
Yeah.
So I think that's what a lot of people want to hear. So, yeah. But the thing with Duncan, the DRS one, it's going to be great. We'll talk about how it works on-prem, but also what we can do with DRS when you have an Amazon infrastructure underneath, right? Mm. When a host is just an API call away. If you think about that, that totally blows everything out of the water. And that's the stuff that we're going to talk about, how you can enrich the core vSphere features that you've been using for many, many years with an infrastructure such as AWS. With the logic of VMware. It's brilliant.
I hope I can attend that session. I hope it doesn't align with one of my sessions for two reasons. Well, number one, everyone will be in your session. But number two, I'm doing a similar session with a slightly different pitch. Mine's actually going to be doing vSAN best practices, doing it with Glenn Sizemore. But we're going to be doing it Edge Core Cloud. You know, we're going to be talking about, you know, how they differ when you're looking at vSAN and some of the things that you should consider. So definitely, I think hybrid cloud is going to be a big topic this year. Do you guys agree?
Yeah.
Yeah, I fully agree. I think it's an interesting topic. When we started looking at the HA and DRS stuff, we didn't know how much it, you know, differed between on-prem and VMware Cloud and AWS. But you know, the last couple of days, we've been exchanging a lot of emails with engineering and just trying to figure out how stuff works within VMware Cloud and AWS. And it's surprising, you know, what kind of cool stuff they managed to get into VMware Cloud and AWS. And you know, the cool thing is that more is going to be announced soon. So hopefully, we'll be able to talk about some really new cool, exciting things at VMworld itself about VMware Cloud and AWS. So I think that's really cool.
You brought up a good point, and I want to add that as another tip to a VMware employee. If you're a VMware employee and you're going to VMworld and you're presenting, you should be doing what Duncan's doing. Duncan talks to developers. He talks to engineers, and he gets a deep understanding. That's something that other people can't do. I mean, yeah, if you're going to present about something and you're presenting it as the authoritative source at VMware, you probably should talk to some of the people that are actually writing it. Fair?
Yeah, I fully agree. And Frank and I have always done that. And that's one of the reasons we've been able to write these books as well, right? So we started doing these sessions, started doing some blog articles. You know, before you know it, you're exchanging emails with the engineers, lead engineers, architects, you name it. And the cool thing is that they're not just providing us information, we are also providing them feedback at this point in time. So we're trying to figure out what works, what doesn't work. You know, based on the feedback that we are giving, they are taking a slightly different direction than they originally had planned. So that is, you know, I think that's very valuable, not just, you know, for us, not just for the audience, but also for the company. So it's definitely worth talking to engineers. The other session that I wanted to mention, by the way, I will also be part of the showcase keynote for the HCI business unit. So we recently formed, or we merged two business units within VMware. And as a result, there's going to be a single showcase session for the hyperconverged infrastructure business unit. And I'll be a part of that session as well. I think I will be doing the demos. I haven't figured out exactly what those demos will look like, but hopefully when I get back from my holiday, they have all of that sorted out and I can start looking into those. So that's also going to be an interesting one because it probably will have some forward-looking things and I always enjoy doing those things.
All of those showcase sessions are good. Obviously, that one is near and dear to my heart as it's our BU, but those showcase keynotes, they're usually with business leaders like yourself and John Gilmartin in this case. And you will get insight into where the individual business units are taking things, even if it's not spelled out. Here's our roadmap for this, and this. You can see what's top of mind as a theme for a given business unit. Like you'll see a lot about, I'm sure, Cloud Foundation integrations of HCI, vSAN, all these other pieces in terms of a platform. I'm not going to speak on behalf of what I'm going to guess you're going to say at that thing, but it's that level of engagement that's really quite interesting to see where some of these leaders are thinking. And, you know, our CTO office is spending their efforts. And, you know, I love those sessions too. And we're looking forward to that one, Duncan.
Yeah, I agree. I've seen a couple last year. Actually, I watched most of them online. I think that's the cool thing about VMworld. They you know, these days release the videos pretty quick. So if you haven't been able to attend those are definitely worth seeing. And what I usually do, you know, on that topic, I create a list of all of the sessions that I want to see, and I will make sure I will watch the recording if I wasn't able to watch them live, because, you know, some of them are just, you know, pure magic. I mean, some of the sessions that I've seen, some of the info and knowledge that is shared, it's just, you know, beyond anything I've ever seen before.
Yeah, I think that's, I hear that a lot. I hear a lot of people saying they're really happy that they now are able to view these sessions online, right? And even some people will go as far as to say, oh, I don't want to go to sessions anymore while I'm at VMworld. I'm just going to watch them online. And I would say that there's a slight counter. Number one, if it's my session, you should go. Number two, it's not as good to just watch it online, because if you're watching a deep dive with NUMA, for example, and, you know, with Frank Denneman, you know, you're taking notes, you're watching, you can do the same online, right? But if you're in the session, you can actually ask questions and you can talk to Frank after the session and say, look, this part confuses me. What is this? And Frank will sit there and talk to you for 30 minutes telling you exactly what you're missing. But, and you can't do that when you're online. It's not the same.
Yeah, I agree. That's a good point. I mean, I personally always enjoy sitting in those sessions. I think it's just, you know, it just adds something when you're in the room. And, you know, the option to have to ask questions afterwards is very valuable, in my opinion. So I agree with you. But then again, you know, if people are watching it online and they want to ask a question, you know, feel free to shoot me a message on Twitter, or, you know, ask the question on the community forums or whatever it is. If it's a longer question, more than happy to look at that as well. So, you know, either way, it works for me.
Yep. Anybody who listens to the podcast already knows this, but I'll say it again. The Virtually Speaking Podcast is having a live session for the first time. This is going to be kind of cool. I'm not going to spill the beans on all the secret things that we're going to be doing, but it's going to be pretty cool. I think it's going to be a totally different experience than, say, just going to a breakout. Breakouts are great, absolutely. But this is going to be a podcast on something that's near and dear to all of our hearts. And it's going to be live. And we're going to have some very, very special guests joining us. And I think it's going to be a blast. Gentlemen, you going to try and come to my session if you can?
Of course. If you invite me.
I think my name's on it, isn't it? So I guess I should.
Yeah.
That's definitely one I'm looking forward to. It sounds interesting. I've seen it at other events as well, where they have a live, where they have already have a podcast, a company based podcast, and they end up doing it live. It just adds something. I think it's pretty cool, and it makes sense to have you guys up on stage. You know, being the most popular virtualization podcast, you guys deserve a session. Heck, you guys deserve 10 slots.
Hey, so. Thanks, man. No, it's going to be fun. The thing I always say about the podcast, I love doing podcasts because we get the really smart people and we shine the spotlight on them. And that's definitely something we're going to be doing on that session as well. So definitely not one.
It's a win-win. No matter what happens with that session, it goes off seamlessly. You've got the most brilliant insights from the community in there. You know, great speakers. Awesome. Total train wreck. Awesome. I'm in.
Exactly. All right, cool. So trying to think what else we're missing. I think we covered some of the basics. We covered some of the changes. We covered some of the ideas around speaking and being a good attendee. What else do you guys think people should either prepare for, know about, or consider before getting on that plane to VMworld?
Well, there are a couple of other things that aren't necessarily VMware, VMworld activities, opening acts, VM Underground, some of those. Well, we're actually sponsoring opening acts and VM Underground this year. We did this last year too, and it was really, really good. And for those of you who aren't familiar with that, it's a community-driven, opening acts is a community-driven series of panels that take place on the Sunday before VMworld. So you hear from industry luminaries and people gathering to talk about topics. It could be anything. I'm not sure what the topics are going to be this year, but for example, it could be career development. It could be virtual networking, whatever it happens to be. But it's the point is that it's not a vendor-driven thing. It's a community and industry-driven thing. So you get to hear from a lot of different perspectives without necessarily a corporate filter on it. So, and then the VM Underground is a good party. So if you've got some time on Sunday, that's something else that I think is probably good to call out.
Talking about parties, by the way, I would definitely recommend to try to figure out what Cohesity and Rubrik are doing. The last 2 years, those guys have been killing it. In the past, I would always go to the Veeam party. And the last 2 years, you know, I try to attend the Rubrik and the Cohesity party because, you know, you have Run DMC or, you know, Snoop Dogg, you name it. It's just crazy what kind of artists these guys have up on stage. The parties are just insane. I mean, I'm not a big party guy because, you know, I need to work. For me, it still works. So I need to make sure that I, I'm fresh and sharp the next morning at 7 o'clock probably. But, you know, make sure to at least attend one of those because those are going to be great.
Yeah, you hit it. Veeam, Cohesity, and Rubrik, all three, yeah, different styles with different crowds, isn't it? But man, those three, I think, are the top. They really throw down at these parties. So if you don't, if you're not invited, if you don't know about them, I don't have a full list. But if you're in the VExpert community, if you're in this whole community in general, I'm sure you'll find out where they are. But don't wait too long because they usually have a limited capacity. And if you want to get on a list, you better start looking now.
Yeah, they sell out. They sell out for sure. I mean, those places are packed. Veeam every single year, it's packed. Cohesity and Rubrik last year were both probably, you know, sold out within minutes. So it's going to happen again this year. I don't know, you know, who the artists are that they will be performing, but I've been told that they are looking at some pretty big names again. So we'll see. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, personally, yeah, so I'm kind of like you. I don't know if it's because I'm getting older or what, but I actually prefer just going to dinner with a couple of people that I work with that I haven't seen and on different sides of the world. You know, I try to, you know, rope you or Frank or somebody to come in and just, you know, just have a beer and just have some food that's not in a place where I have to yell into your ear like some of those parties. But I mean, they are fun, but don't miss out on the fact that you're probably in an area where all of the people that you see in this community are converging into one location. And so make sure you get on the calendars of the people that you want to quickly.
Yeah, that's another thing. When you see somebody walk by that you recognize, just say hi. Everybody, it's a very social event. So the moment you see somebody that you recognize from Twitter, just say hi, just introduce yourself. If somebody that you know and you walk up to them and they introduce themselves, introduce yourself as well, right? I've heard many times, like, and I've seen this happening by at other people as well, that like Duncan, like, yeah, I'm Duncan. Yeah, I know who you are. Well, we want to hear your name as well, right? So everybody is out there to have a good time. And just talking to somebody makes the show way better. Just you get insights, you get tips, you get everything. It's just fun.
I think that's a good point. I think most people forget that, or I wouldn't say forget, but sometimes they don't realize that most of the bloggers, authors, you know, YouTube stars, Twitter heroes, they're just people, right? So just, you know, it's okay to walk up to them. If you see them sitting at lunch, you know, ask them if you can sit next to them, ask a question, you know, tell your story, whatever it is. I'm always happy to have a conversation. Although I may have an angry face, I'm not an angry guy.
Yeah, sure.
I'll add on to that. I mean, by all means, say hi. That's awesome. And please don't be offended if, you know, forget your name because the last time we saw you was 2 years ago in Las Vegas and I was hungover because it was Thursday morning or something like that. I don't know. Maybe that's just my brain. But, you know, hi, I am so-and-so, to Frank's point, is really important. And don't you remember the time we shared the taxi going from the airport in Copenhagen down to the venue? Like, no, man, I'm sorry. My brain doesn't work that way. Please don't take offense. I'm seeding this in advance. If someone comes to say hi to me, I just want this on the record.
That's beautiful. That's good. That's a good point.
A couple of other things. Just randomly here, I've been browsing through the content catalog as well, and it's quite interesting thematically, I think, to kind of go through this and just pick out what sort of themes you can find from VMworld this year. I mean, there are 511 breakout sessions, not the boot camps or any of the rest of those things, just the breakout sessions. And I think there are around 140 NSX sessions on those 511. There are 136 that just say vSAN alone, almost 100 on PKS, not Kubernetes, on PKS specifically.
Wow.
So some of the themes that are coming through, and I don't think these are, you know, official themes or anything like that, but, you know, we follow what our customers' interest is. So I think that kind of represents where our customer base is going and where we're going as a company too. So seeing, you know, PKS, seeing vSAN, seeing NSX, seeing, you know, 60 odd cloud foundation things. It's kind of interesting to me tracking some of those things, and I'd be very, very interested to find out how some of those sessions go over. PKS, I mean, that's not a VMware core product, but clearly right. I took interest in that. Oh, yeah. So I'm looking forward to some of those sessions as well, seeing what things outside of my BU are doing to integrate that stuff. I know we've got a ton of storage integrations, but, you know, what else is going on in that application development space that our VMware customers and VMware employees are working on?
One of those sessions that is really interesting, that is actually a layer above it, even above BKS. And that's the if this, then that session by William Lamin and Michael Gash.
Oh,
it's an event-driven system to capture stuff that that happens in the visual layer. That is brilliant. And that's the session that I really want to go to. And I think that should be a 1,000-person session, right? Mm-hmm. So when the schedule builder opens, you might see that a particular session is full. And that's because some of the sessions have already been assigned a room that might not be the size. They might have anticipated it wrong, basically, the popularity of that session.
Yeah.
Now, instantly, you will see that, hey, the session is full. But typically, what you will see is that you can, I don't know how it's called, maybe Ken knows, that you can register for if room opens up.
Standby?
Please do that, right? Please sign up for those sessions because it indicates to the organization that more people are interested than the room can support.
Oh yeah, I mean they get backloaded on the reruns of those sessions too. So let's say you see it on Tuesday and it's full. Well, it might be run a second time on Thursday, but yeah, you're right. It's entirely based on that wait list and how many people signed up for it. Oh, we put it into a room for 500, but you know, like Doug got rooms for 1,000 in Moscone. So they may up the room size or they may run a scheduled repeat of that or whatever it happens to be. And that actually brings another topic to mind. When people leave, this is another bit of advice. If possible, go home Friday. I know everyone goes, oh man, I'm burnt out by the end of the 3 days there, but I didn't see any sessions that I want. Well, some of those really cool, really deep technical repeats might be run on Thursday. And also they tend to schedule a lot of the technical 300 deep dives later in the week. So you get a lot of announcements early in the week. You get a lot of positioning and messaging types of sessions going on. You get a lot of the big deal tickets that they don't want to, you know, compete with. So they put a lot of the very technical sessions towards the end of the event. So you might be missing out if you're going home Thursday morning or, you know, Wednesday after the party or something like that. So check out that schedule. And I think that actually opens in the next day or two here. And make sure you do look and see which sessions you want are on Thursday, because there are often quite a few really, really good, really solid deep technical ones then.
Oh, yeah. Catch the red eye on Thursday at very minimum, right? All right. Last thing here before we take off. Frank, you were mentioning that you're really looking forward to seeing that session by William. I completely agree. Any session by William is going to be good, in my opinion. Duncan, you do a great thing every year. You actually have a blog post on yellowbricks.com that goes through all of your top picks for this year. And this year you had a top 25. Lots of really good picks there. So, Cam, what about you? What sessions are you looking forward to?
That's a hard question to answer to. Which sessions are you looking forward to? Because there are, I mean, I can't rate them. I rank this one better than that one. There are just so many. And like I said, to me, I think there's one, it's the Virtually Speaking Podcast Live. And man, I can't wait for that one. It's going to be awesome.
Not a bad one.
Is awesome.
I think that one is hard to top. But one other thing that comes to mind are just the keynotes in the morning.
Yeah, good point. They always surprise me how good they are. I get shocked, and then I look at, man, the experience is great. Don't watch them on the TVs either. Get into the room because it's actually a pretty cool experience.
The stage that Pat was on last year. Wow. That was a thing of beauty. So yeah, I'm looking forward to the keynotes and to the podcast session. So make it nice, Pete. Make it nice.
This is amazing.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be. It'll be fun. Cool. All right, gentlemen. I think we've beat this horse. Good stuff. VMworld. Looking forward to seeing everybody there. Frank, I think you nailed it. Come by and don't be shy. Come say hi to people. Network. Get to the sessions in person. Wear shoes. Drink water. Do all the good things. And yeah, that's it. Closing thoughts, gentlemen. Before we take off.
Besides wearing shoes, wear pants as well. It's
good
also
call.
Very important.
Good call.
Well, I think they're leaning on the casual end of the business casual spectrum. So, you know, that's optional. That's going to be my perspective on it.
Sweet. All right. That's a pretty good primer for VMworld 2019. So yeah, go to VMworld.com if you're looking for more information, like, you know, the dates for like the hall crawl and the welcome reception and the VMworld party. They haven't announced the group yet. I'm still pulling for the Foo Fighters. We'll see what happens. But all that, you want to see where the hands-on lab is. You want to see where the hackathon is, all the good stuff that's going to be happening at VMworld. You can find it on VMworld.com. All right, that music tells me it's time to go. And so if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email at podcast@vmware.com. You can subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice by searching Virtually Speaking Podcast. You can catch this in all episodes at vspeakingpodcast.com. A big thanks to Ken, Frank, and Duncan for joining us this week. We hope to see you at VMworld, but if not, we'll see you next week. Until then, Bye for now.
Hello, V-Speaking fans. This is Jadine Porter de Leon, at Porter de Leon on the Twitters. I wanted to help VMware community members with their careers, so I started the Level Up project. So this year, we're excited to announce the launch of the 2019 vTrail Map, which is your community guide for your virtualization journey. So who is it for? This guide is a physically printed book that's launching at VMworld, and we need your help to put it in the hands of those who are not hyper-connected to the V community. Go to the VMT Community Lounge, get a copy. Go to the VMUG Lounge, find a copy there. Go to the V Brown Bag stage. And most importantly, go to our sponsor's booth. The great sponsor, Cohesity, this year is sponsoring the 2019 vTrail Map. Find a copy of the vTrail Map there and put it in the hands of somebody who needs your help.
Enough of this jibber jabber.